Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Revelation 14, verse 6 and 7 say, "And I saw another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to announce to those dwelling on the earth, even to every nation and tribe and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who has made heaven and earth and the sea and the springs of waters." During the great tribulation that is coming to try all those who dwell on the earth, God sends an angel to preach a gospel message to those on the earth. Is this the gospel of grace that we believers today have heard and believed? Dennis Agassi has joined us today as we consider the eternal gospel in Revelation chapter 14. Dennis, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be here again.
We come to this matter, Dennis, of the eternal gospel that is spoken of in Revelation 14, the verses I read, verses 6 and 7. We're going to hear Witness Lee in this first section talk about the way that God deals with people is determined by the dispensation that is operating at that specific time. Say a little something, if you would, about this principle of the dispensational dealing of God with his people before we get into the message today.
This is an important matter, Chris, because we can see in the Old Testament God dealt with his people in one way according to the law of Moses. But in the New Testament, God deals with his people in an entirely different way, not according to the law of Moses, but according to the grace. So we can see here in the interpretation of the Bible, it's important that we do take care of this matter of dispensation. We can see from the Old Testament and the New Testament there is a definite difference. The eternal gospel is not another gospel mentioned by Paul in Galatians, but it is the eternal gospel found in Revelation 14.
I think the key point here to tie this into the message today is to see that when we transition out of the current age that we're in, which is typically called the age of grace, or some call it the church age, the dispensation changes even during this period of time, the Great Tribulation.
Right.
It's another dispensation.
Yes.
It's not the dispensation of grace that we are blessed to be in today.
That's correct.
Okay, let's join Witness Lee. We're going to hear, I think, from a very skillful teacher on this topic, and here's our first section.
Right after the rapture of the first fruit, the first thing that follows is the eternal gospel. No doubt that such a term, eternal gospel, is here in the Holy Word, in Revelation chapter 14. All Bible students and teachers do agree in the Bible we can see God has different ways to deal with people. And these ways are called dispensations. You have the dispensation of law. That was the Old Testament age. And dispensation of law means what? Means there was a period of time God dealt with his people by the law. After the dispensation of law, we do have the dispensation of grace. In this age, God's way to deal with us, his believers, is not according to the law, but to the grace. And this dispensation, or this way of God's dealing, will be ended by the time when the Great Tribulation comes in. The Great Tribulation will last for 3.5 years. In those 42 months, God will have another way to deal with people. And that way is the way of the eternal gospel. It is not the gospel of grace, but the eternal gospel. you read Revelation 14, you see what is the content of the eternal gospel? There's no repentance, and there's no believing, no faith. What is here? Number one, fear God, giving him the glory. Number two, worship God. Don't worship that beast. You see the difference? No repentance. Is there any repentance? No. Is there any faith? No. What are here? Two things. Fear God. Antichrist is not the God. You don't need to fear him. He cannot put you into the lake of fire. Antichrist can do some signs, but he didn't create heaven and the earth and the sea and the rivers and the springs of waters, but God. You have to fear God and don't give glory to this guy. You have to give all your glory to God, the creator of the universe. Fear him and give glory to him. Don't worship this beast, but you have to worship God. This is the eternal gospel.
Dennis, I like that phrase. We shouldn't worship this guy, as Witness Lee calls him. I was talking, I can't remember, Ron or one of the other brothers the other day, and no one could ever recall him using that phrase, this guy, except when he spoke about Antichrist, a unique term that he used to describe him. Yeah. During the tribulation, the dispensation changes, and the way that God deals with his people changes. The gospel of grace that we have today, by that time, is over. And it's replaced for this short period spoken of in Revelation by the eternal gospel in Revelation 14. Let's talk a little bit about the difference, Dennis, between the gospel of grace and the eternal gospel.
It's a good question, Chris, because we can see the gospel of grace today is repentance toward God, faith in the Lord Jesus, forgiveness of sins resulting in our being born of God. This is the gospel of grace that we are all familiar with and that we adhere to as genuine believers. But as you said, the gospel of grace has a definite beginning and also a definite ending. At the time of the Great Tribulation, the gospel of grace is over and another gospel comes in, and that's called the eternal gospel here in Revelation. The contents of the eternal gospel are to fear God and to worship God. As Brother Lee said, in this eternal gospel, there is no repentance, there is no believing, there is no faith, there is simply the matter of fearing God. Why? Fearing God, because at that time, there will be the false prophet's deceit. And this eternal gospel is a counter to that deceit. Not only so, but there will be, this eternal gospel also neutralizes the death threat against those who follow Antichrist. We can see that this eternal gospel, on one hand, pronounces judgment if you do not take this eternal gospel. On the other hand, the real essence of this eternal gospel is to care for the suffering ones who are still remaining on the earth. The suffering, the God-fearing Jews, yeah, and the Bible, and the Christ-believing believers.
Dennis, that is a very key point to this message today, and that's where we're going in this next section. As you read some of the writings from Bible scholars from generations past, this interpretation that the eternal gospel here is not the same as the gospel of grace is not unique. There's a good historical foundation for this understanding among the brethren, and even the Schofield Reference Bible, Schofield Study Bible, brings this out. What is unique, perhaps, in this ministry, and which we're going to see in this next section, and you just alluded to, is the connection of the eternal gospel from Revelation 14 and the description given in Matthew about the treatment given to God's suffering people. And very key to understand this connection. And, of course, this came out in Watchman Nee's early ministry and that of Witness Lee. Let's look now at these verses in Matthew 25 before we go to Witness Lee for our next section. Matthew 25, beginning at verse 31, it says, "But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, at that time he will sit on the throne of his glory. And all the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one another, just as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will come to those on his right hand, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when have we seen you hungry and have fed you, or thirsty and have given you a drink? And when have we seen you a stranger and have taken you in, or naked and have clothed you? And when have we seen you sick or in prison and have come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you have done it to one of these, the least of my brothers, you have done it to me. Then he will also say to those on the left, Go away from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you did not give me anything to eat. I was thirsty, and you did not give me a drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when have we seen you hungry, or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he will answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, neither have you done it to me. And these shall go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Let's join Witness Lee once again.
If you read Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, you could see the Lord will judge the living ones, the unbelievers who will still be living on this earth after the war at Armageddon, the defeat of Antichrist. The Lord will judge them according how they treat the Lord's little brothers. And the Lord's little brothers are whom? Are the God-fearing Jews and the Christ-believing believers. And these little brothers will all be there in the Great Tribulation. And they will be the object of Antichrist persecution. Antichrist in the Great Tribulation will persecute the God-fearing Jews and the believers left on this earth. They are considered by the Lord as his little brothers. And in Matthew 25, you can see the situation. They were really suffering. They will lack of food. They will be short of clothing. And some of them will be put into prison. And some of them will be sick. And then the Lord will judge those living ones according to the way they treat the God-fearing Jews and the Jesus-believing believers in the Great Tribulation. How some of the living ones would treat the God-fearing Jews and Jesus-believing believers so well. No doubt they have heard the gospel. Well, Antichrist and his people will be persecuting in the Great Tribulation the God-fearing Jews and Jesus-believing believers, these dear ones, who will hear the gospel, fear God. Don't persecute his people. Fear God. And don't worship the beast, but worship God. And these dear ones surely will hear the gospel that stirs up their heart to treat well God-fearing Jews and Jesus-believing believers. Then the Lord Jesus came to set up his throne of glory, to exercise his judgment over all the living ones on this earth, based upon what? Just based upon that eternal gospel. Whosoever will listen to that gospel and treat the Lord's little brothers well, the Lord will say, you are a thief. Otherwise, you'll be a goat. It is based upon this gospel that the living ones will be divided, or will be decided whether to be a sheep or a goat. All the goats, because they did follow Antichrist to persecute God's fearing Jews and Christ's believers. So the Lord put them all together into the lake of fire with Antichrist. Then all the sheep will enter into the millennial kingdom, not to be the kings, not to be the priests, but to be the citizens there. We, the overcoming Christians, will be the kings there in the millennium. And the God-fearing Jews, who will be preserved and saved, will be the priests in the millennium. And then who of the citizens? All the sheep.
Dennis, as we've seen, this gospel that's preached by the angel from mid-heaven or in the air is not the gospel of grace that the Lord has given to us in this age. There's a direct linkage between the activities of the Antichrist and this eternal gospel. His torment of God's people who remain on the earth during this time creates an opportunity for the righteous ones to respond to this eternal gospel that they have heard by caring for God's suffering ones. Let's talk about this for a moment.
Chris, it's interesting here. I like what Brother Lee said, that only man has the right and the privilege to speak the gospel of grace. But the eternal gospel is spoken by an angel who is now in mid-heaven. Of course, Chris, we have to realize that this entire scene follows the rapture of the first fruit. That will be a marvelous wonder to the entire earth. So here you have the whole earth in this situation. The rapture of the first fruits have been taken off. Then this angel appears in mid-heaven speaking this eternal gospel. At the same time, you have the initiation and the continuation of the Great Tribulation with the false prophet and the Antichrist there attempting to deceive the entire inhabited earth. The main thing the Antichrist will do, of course, we know, is to persecute the Jewish ones there, the God-fearing Jews, and the real believers of Christ. In order to reduce the suffering there on the earth, the eternal gospel is there spoken by the angel as a countermeasure by God to relieve the persecution and extreme hardship that his little ones in Matthew 25 will be facing. You read the portion there in Matthew 25, and I think it's easy for a casual reader to look at it and just dismiss that, well, the sheep are believers, the goats are unbelievers. But it's very clear in the Word in Matthew 25 that the Lord is speaking to the nations. So the nations represent both the sheep and the goats, yet some of the nations get a reward, other of the nations get punishment. So we have to see that this portion in Matthew 25 does relate very much to the time of the Great Tribulation.
Right.
And I think we can see as we go on in the broadcast what this really means, Chris.
Yeah, that's very good, Dennis. In that portion that we read that he commented on, the believers are the ones that are suffering and in prison and naked and in need of food and all of the necessities of life.
Yes.
That's the believers in that story.
Right.
The sheep and the goats both come from the nations, as you said, and how they relate to these suffering ones.
That's correct.
The key element is to see that that description in Matthew 25 is really talking about the experience of those on the earth at the time of the Great Tribulation.
Exactly.
And then it connects perfectly.
Yes.
With Revelation 14.
Yes. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense.
Dennis, something you just said here leads very well into our final section. I really hope our listeners are able to stay with us for this final portion because it has to do with a very intriguing question. I'm going to pose it now and then allow Witness Lee to answer it for us. Most believers realize that included in the promise of our full salvation is to rule and reign with Christ in the coming age, actually as co-kings. And of course, the portion for the Jews is to be the priests in the coming age.
Right.
The question then, who will we be ruling over? Who are the citizens, the citizenry that require kings to rule over them?
Right.
We'll hear our brother answer that question now.
God is mercy. Right after the rapture of the first fruit, God knows the persecution will be severe. No human being can bear it. So God sent one of his angels to proclaim his message to the whole kingdom of Antichrist. Fear God. Don't touch anyone that belongs to God. The Jews, the believers, don't touch them. If you touch, I tell you, many hear this gospel. And they believed. And they hiddenly help all the persecuted ones. And God, the Lord, knows their heart. So when the Lord comes to this earth to judge over the living ones, including them, the Lord would consider them as what? As a seed. Not the regenerated believers. They will not be regenerated. They will be rather just restored to the original created condition. You all have to know the millennial kingdom in Acts 3:21 is called the time of restoration. And all the sheep will be restored to the Adamic situation, to the original created condition. They will be not regenerated, but just restored. When we believe the Lord Jesus, the eternal life enters into us. But these sheep, they will have no eternal life entering into them, but they will enter into eternal life. The eternal life will not get into them, but they will get into the realm of eternal life. They will be just restored as the proper created man to live on this earth to be God's citizens.
Well, Dennis, I think we have to say yes. I think now this is clear.
Yes, it is.
We heard Witness Lee say that the ones who respond to this gospel do not get regenerated as we do today who believe in Christ, but rather those in that time get restored to the original condition of created man. Let's talk about this restoration for a moment. It's referred to even in the book of Acts.
Yes, Chris, in Acts 3:21, it talks about the times of restoration of all things. And we can see that the sheep who are the ones who help the persecuted believers and the God-fearing Jews during the Great Tribulation now receive the reward. The reward is not the eternal life that enters into them. They go into the realm of eternal life, but what's more important is that they are restored according to God's original creation. These sheep, as Brother Lee said, are the citizens of the kingdom. The priests are produced from the dispensation of the law. The kings are produced from the dispensation of grace. But as you said, Chris, who will these priests and kings rule over? They will rule over the sheep, who are the living and remaining unbelievers on the earth who have been restored to God's original creation in the millennial kingdom.
Well, we have to leave our listeners again, I think, with an encouragement that they would contact us to receive these printed messages. Quite honestly, we have to tell you what you have been exposed to today, what you have heard today through Witness Lee speaking, and what we have tried to convey and reinforce in our fellowship, virtually has not been spoken, perhaps, in the history of Bible exposition. We realize this is probably new. This needs your careful examination. We would just ask that you look at these portions, take them to the Lord yourself, study these verses. We hope that you'll contact us for this information so that you can pore over these in your own study before the Lord, that His light would shine and illuminate us all. Dennis, thank you for your help on a not an easy topic today. I really appreciate having you here.
You're welcome, Chris.
For Dennis Agashi today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.